Hey guys, welcome to episode 14 with me, Alex Lara. We're going to have lots of fun talking about everything investing, and just remember that you are responsible for your own trading decisions.
Coming in hot.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our episode 14.
Yeah, guys, what a guest we got today. So just want to quickly, we actually got a full-time ICT trader. If you don't know what ICT is, it's things based on smart money concepts, where basically, you know, we're looking at liquidity, displacement, market structure shift, and of course, my favorite, the fair value gap. So guys, it's going to be a great interview. I really, really can't wait for this. And I think everyone who's watching and watches this video is in for a treat.
Yes, I am very excited. We have the very, very well-known Alex Lara. People have been messaging saying that they had come across her before our show, and they're really excited to have her in the show today. She's also going to be answering questions in the live chat. And just before I forget, if you are watching the show live, please just post hashtag SFX, and we'll do a draw after the interview. PJ, what were some of the takeaways or some of the things that you really liked about the interview with Alex?
I think she was very, very clear in introducing new concepts. You know, I had heard of Andrew mentioned the fair value gaps before, but her breaking it down was really helpful, and I know our audience is going to appreciate it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think without further ado, I think it's that time, ladies and gentlemen. Alex Lara, she's known to a lot of people in the industry. She's a seven-figure trader. She created RBV Forex Made Easy. Your mentor is her mentor. She's also a more than 90% win rate trader. And I think without further ado, let's get over to our special interview with our extra special guest, Alex Lara. Ladies and gentlemen, so happy to welcome Alex Lara all the way from Romania. Welcome, Alex.
Hi. Welcome. Hey, guys. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How did you first get interested in trading?
Well, it happened a few years ago, and it was after I met my partner. But it didn't really attract me. He was into trading for many years when we actually first met. And he kept trying to pull me into trading, but I always considered that, you know, it's mainly like a male-dominated space, so there's nothing for me there. But then little by little, I started looking into it, especially after a very weird event we had in one of our holidays. We were in the holiday and at the beach, and then a guy approached me, speaking to me in English, even though we were here in Romania, and he was Romanian. And then he told me that he knows me from South Africa. I've never been there. And then when we got back home in Bucharest, a few days after this, let's call it incident, I've been approached by a group of traders from South Africa, which was pretty weird. And I said, okay, maybe it was like a sign. I don't know exactly, but it was very, very, very weird. And I really started trading with those guys. They were actually the ones who, you know, they really made me realize that maybe it's time for me to look into trading, even though my boyfriend was, kept trying to pull me into trading for I think about 3-4 years. And I just kept saying no. But the incident from the seaside was weird enough to say yes, okay. And then I started looking into it. We were trading Beat the Market Maker strategy by Steve Mauro. And then it went pretty well, but then indicators were just too much for me. I became more and more interested in trading only price action, unnecessarily indicators. And then I found ICT. So from there, it's just like this. It's been going up since then. Thank God.
How did you find ICT? How long did it take you, to like master those concepts or apply those concepts and make them work?
For me personally, I'd say that I'm not mastering the entire ICT's content. I do not believe that there is a single person on this planet who could master ICT's entire content, because the guy has like 30 plus years of experience. Like, one of the most often things that he has advised his students is pick one or two concepts and make your bread and butter setup using only those one or two concepts. So then everyone tries to comprehend and to grasp all his concepts. And then they don't know why it isn't working, because you're trying to use fair value gaps and order blocks and breakers and mitigation blocks and everything at the same time. And then you start getting conflicting signals in the charts, and then you don't know what time frame to pick, because maybe you have an order block on the daily, but maybe you have a rejection block on the 1 hour chart that would give you like an opposing signal. And then I think to me, I started mastering two concepts from ICT when I just decided on those two concepts alone. But if I would have not decided on those two concepts alone, and I just would have kept studying all his content, I would be in the same place where I was when I started.
For any up and coming trader, maybe what would you recommend to study first?
So this is what the guy said, and it's something like ICT, and it's something that stuck in my head, and it really made me decide on the two concepts that I started using. So this is what he said at one point. He said, there is only two reasons why the market is ever going to move. One of the reasons is to rebalance an old imbalance. In other words, let's just imagine that we're having like a bullish trend. Okay, so we're looking at a bullish market, and now price starts to go down, which is what we're mainly considering that to be a pullback, a bearish pullback in a bullish market. So then the reason why price would want to go down would be one of the following two: either to rebalance a bullish fair value gap that you had on the last ascending trending move, either to go for liquidity. So take sell side liquidity from an old intermediary swing low, and then use that sell side liquidity to pair it with smart money long so that it can continue to go further up because you're in a bullish market. So when he actually said this, and I've listened to this thing, him saying this multiple times, it just clicked. It really made sense. So if I were to advise anyone else, just stick to liquidity and imbalances. That's all you need. It's just the only two things that are like the main signatures that, let's say, smart money leave behind, and the main reasons why they will ever move the market. Either go for liquidity or to rebalance an old imbalance, and then either, stop the day there. So you either trade till that imbalance, or you will just wait to take a trade at that imbalance, at that fair value gap.
What was your time frame where you said, I've been exposed to this and now it's clicking and now I'm a profitable sort of trader?
So it took me about 2 years to realize that I need to stop looking at all his concepts and decide on one or two. About 2 years. I think I moved fast, honestly.
Some people do this for 10, 15 years and still clicking,
Yeah. So it took me 2 years to decide on two concepts. And then it took me like another a year to really master them. Not master them, but understand them in a way in which I could actually start to move, making money. And then right now I think that I believe that my own model is perfect for me. For me, it's perfect, and it's become perfect in like another 2 years, I'd say. So 2 years to decide on one, two concepts, 1 year to understand those two, and then another 2 years, I'd say, to be where I am at this point.
I've been looking at your YouTube channel and Twitter, and gold, I think gold predominantly was like one of your favorite assets to trade. So what about now? What you like to trade? What's your go-to?
It's still gold. It hasn't changed. Hell yeah, gold for me. It's like, and it's funny because ICT, he often said that he hates gold. He actually had a Twitter Spaces at one time where he yelled and he said, stop asking me about gold because I hate gold. It's so manipulated. It doesn't work. I think everything works with his concepts. If you just find that thing that is, you know, you backtested it and it has a proven formula that it really works that way. And for me, gold for now, I don't think I'll change it very soon, honestly. And I started with EURUSD and GBPUSD. Well, I actually started with all the pairs, like everyone else. And then I'll just focused on EU and GU when I stumbled upon his content, and then just transitioned to gold because I was so afraid to trade it. And I said, well, if you want to move, you know, forward, you need to stop being afraid of some assets. And gold was like the one that really made me beep my pants. The reason why it just worked for me more is because to me it was like getting into trading gold was more not necessarily to make more money or to risk more or any of that stuff, but it was more like to get over a mental barrier that I had. So it could have been NASDAQ. I just had no idea back then about indexes, you know, so.
Right. Okay. That's interesting.
And also, right. I think it's also extremely important. The place, like your time zone, when do you usually trade? What are your trading hours? Maybe some of the people, maybe some traders have like day jobs. Maybe they cannot invest 2, 3 hours, 4 hours at certain hours during the day, you know, to focus on trading because of their day job or any other stuff. So I think it's extremely important also to pick a pair that you will see that it's moving more, that it's more volatile during that time of the day when you are available to focus on the charts. Okay. I'm lucky to be in Europe because it's like 9 a.m. when London, it's actually 10 a.m. in my country when London session starts. And then it's 3:30 p.m. When New York session starts. So I can trade both sessions, and gold, it's absolutely fantastic.
What advice would you give to any up and coming female traders, you know, to get into the game and show us how it's done?
You can really do good in this business, even though it's male dominated. And it was something that really kept me away from it for 4 years. 4 years, I didn't want to hear about it because everywhere I would search for advice on Forex, on trading in general, it was only male. Only male, but women, girls, you can actually do this a lot better than men. We can. Weird or not, but yeah. And I don't know, just try to focus on the psychology part because that's more important than the technical analysis part. So if I were to start at this point, that's what I'd do.
What's your opinion on cryptocurrency, and do you have any like investment, or you know, do you think it's something that could work out, or you just stay away from crypto? So
I don't stay away from crypto. I would, however, never day trade crypto. I did it I think 2-3 years ago, Bitcoin. It was quite okay. I had good results, but then I just decided, you know, go to gold, stick to one pair, and that's it. But I think crypto is here to stay. A few projects, I think that they're going to be iconic. They are, and I think that they're here to stay. Like, can I give names?
Yeah, go for it.
I was about to.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I really think that at least in terms of technology, of course, Bitcoin and Ethereum, but I really do believe in XRP and Ripple.
What was your reason for thinking that Ripple or XRP is a sound project?
I've read a little about the technology behind Ripple Labs, and I think that really they are going to replace Swift across the banking system.
Which is pretty exciting because they're
It is. And to be honest with you, think about it like this. When there is something that is really threatening the, let's say, powers that currently control the financial system, they're going to be attacked. Like if there would be someone getting ready to threaten your top position, right? you would attack first. And they're like the only project that have really been attacked, and by whom? The SEC. I think that's not something that we should underestimate, you know.
How do you kind of stay focused? How do you control emotions and minimize your emotions?
Yes, so I've really struggled with this for a long time. It's really good that you asked. And like I said earlier, it's like the main advice that I would give to someone starting out or really getting serious about trading is just get to know your psychology. So what I realized is that most times when I had a trade going in my favor and I just got greedy and didn't take any profit, it just went back against me, either taking me out at break even without me taking any profit, or even worse, just going to my stop loss. So what I realized is that I need to pay myself. And this is, again, one of the other things, the many things that I've listened to ICT, or listened from ICT, heard ICT saying, is just pay the trader. Pay the trader. And I said, okay, pay the trader. Who's the trader? The trader is me, the person who wants to make money from trading. That personality of me prioritizes making money because I want to fund my lifestyle. I want to improve my lifestyle. I want to, get rid of frustrations when price goes in my favor and I don't take anything because I get greedy and then it just goes against me. And I said, okay, pay the trader. So I'll take most of the profit when many would say that I'm crazy to take profit because, oh, you're leaving a lot of money on the table. No, I'm not. I would leave money on the table if I wouldn't take what's been given to me and put it in my pocket. Like I have a saying, if you find a dollar bill on the ground, on the street, will you not pick it just because it's not a $10 bill?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You will pick it. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So if price goes in my favor, like for gold, 20 pips, like for me, 20 pips on gold, it's the golden number. When I was trading Euro USD and GBP USD, I would take profit. Like most of my position would go off at 9-10 pips. And everyone would say, you're crazy. You're leaving a lot of money on the table. No, I'm not, because I'm putting money in my account. I'm growing my account with 10, 20 pips, sometimes less. And you're hoping to get 60 pips in a single price leg, but then it first takes you out and then it goes in your favor. So then who's the person who made money? Who's the guy who's the one that gets money and who's the one that gets frustration increasing, you know? So if you understand that there's two personalities in you, the trader who needs to prioritize taking profit sooner than you'd want, sooner than everyone else would tell you, sooner than everyone else is doing. And by the way, everyone else, I'm talking about people who are not necessarily successful in this business, but they just show off, you know, occasional setups that went 80 pips in their favor or 300 pips in their favor. But most of the time, when I decided to take 15 pips, 16 pips, 8 pips, and just take 90% of it and put it in my account and then leave a 10% runner, for the technical analyst in me, for the personality in me who spent time in front of the charts to learn, to, to master a strategy, to wait for a setup. And that personality needs to get what it wants, which is pips. But then we're not paying our bills with pips. We're paying our bills with money. So I'm prioritizing taking profit at a very small amount of pips for what a lot of people might say. So for example, gold has like a daily average range of at least 200 pips. Usually gold moves from the high of the day to the low of the day, around 200 pips every day. For me, if I can take 10% out of that, I am absolutely doing very well.
Yeah,
and when I started doing this, prioritizing paying myself, and then just leaving like a very small portion of the trade to go for, you know, higher time frame market structures or stuff like that, then you got yourself covered. Because I don't trade to make pips. I trade to make money. When you have a dollar, right? So when you have $1 and you find it, maybe if you pick it up, you're going to find another one. And then if you pick that one up too, you're going to find another one. And then just picking $1, $1, $1, you'll eventually slowly but surely reach $10. But if you don't pick the $1 and waiting, hoping for the $10, that might not come. You know, there is a saying, and when I heard this, I was like, boom. It says this: slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And I said, what?
Yes.
So if I obey to the hurdle of growing slow, I'm actually growing faster? How come? So yeah, I slowly grow my account, but I'm actually growing faster than a lot of other people who are waiting for the $10 bill. When I started taking like 90% at 10, 20 pips, it was really hard because I don't know, it's like the universe was making price action move so that whenever I closed the trade, it would just start to go in my favor faster. And every time I would say, oh, I was so stupid for closing the trade. Why didn't I leave it go for more? But then the next trade, I would just do the same. Just take what I have, the golden number, 10, 20 pips, put it in my pocket. Price would just continue to go higher in my favor faster. And again, till eventually that little self-sabotaging voice of why so stupid, why take profit so early, that just fades away, because you need to you know, make that voice shut up by saying, okay, yeah, but I did make money. That's the purpose. The purpose is not for me to have like a run, you know, a home run, you know, like I'm okay with $1 and $1 and one until I reach 10, and eventually I will reach 10, and then at least I know a thing, right? I made money.
Yeah,
you didn't.
And you also have that runner. You also have that 10% runner. Just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Honestly, like 90% of my runners are stopped out at break even.
Yeah.
90% of them are stopped out at break even. But I don't care anymore. But what if I wouldn't take 20 pips, and I would just put stop loss at break even? It would take me out, and then it would go in my favor. Now I would be afraid to re-enter a trade after it takes me out, either takes me out at break even, either takes my stop loss. Why? Because think about it like this. Technically speaking, from a logical perspective, we're supposed to put stop loss at levels of price where we would get our setup invalidated, right? So let's say price goes 20 pips in my favor. I don't take profit. I don't even secure the trade at break even. Okay, I just leave the stop loss where it is. And then it goes to my stop loss, and then it would start to move in my favor. But going to my stop loss, it already invalidated my trade idea. Let's say I was long, right? I was buying. And going below that low where I had my stop loss, where it's the invalidation level of a long idea, of a trade, of a bullish trade idea, now I'm afraid to look for another confirmation of a trade in the same direction. So I'm likely going to be enticed into maybe looking for a sell opportunity, but then price just continues to go higher, but it already took me out. And I'm afraid to re-enter a long position because I'm thinking, well, my long idea was invalidated, so why on earth would I want to re-enter a long when it was already invalidated? And second, maybe I would just get right now, you know, the maybe I would want to revenge, maybe I would just want to recover my loss faster, and I would just get, you know, manipulated into taking a short without actually waiting for a confirmation, for a trade entry confirmation. Why? Because, well, if it invalidated the long trade, then it's likely going to go down, but it isn't. So might as well just take that 10, 20 pips and you made money. If price takes you out, your runner, or if it just continues to move in your favor, the money is yours already. You know, you're not losing anything.
Yeah, so what's your opinion on prop firms? And so for myself, I think it's a good way to start off to build your own capital. But I'm wondering if you've got any experience with prop firms. And
I never traded a prop firm account personally. Yeah. The reason why I didn't is because when I started trading, prop firms were not a thing. And then when I started to, you know, 2 years, 3 years into trading, really taking it seriously, little by little, I just didn't need that anymore. And one more thing, usually a prop firm account is around $1,000, or at least that's how it was when it first started with FTMO. That's in my head, the FTMO is like the originator of prop firms, even though maybe it's not. But it was like $1,000 on account. And to me, $1,000, it used to be a lot of money. It still is a good amount of money. In my country, in Europe, you can live a decent life with $1,000 a month, including paying rent and all of that stuff. So I always felt like I don't want to give the money, $1,000, to a company and get to trade on a demo account. Like, why? Why if I fail? What if I fail? Too many rules. That's what I was thinking at that time. But then, so that kept me at that time, kept me away from going into a challenge account and, you know, buying challenge accounts and all of that stuff. And then I just didn't need the funds anymore. Because little by little, I was growing my own account and I was doing enough so that I can get back on track after I got fired, after I was left with only $200 in my bank account. And I just didn't need the money anymore. At this point, what I would advise everyone is, if you want to pay a prop firm to give you an account and trade it, hopefully, hoping that, you know, you're going to build your capital and so on, I think that this, from the back of your head, comes like from the idea that you want to start with big funds from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Again, another thing of us women is that, or female traders, is that we're okay with not starting with a big balance. I was okay with not starting with a big account, and just I submitted myself to time, to growing slow but sure. And that's maybe one of the other reasons why I never wanted to take a challenge account, because heck, if I cannot grow my $1,000, if I deposit $1,000, my own funds in an account, and I blow the account, what makes me think that I'll be able to master a $100,000 account, even if it's demo? I've paid that $1,000, that prop firm, I paid that account for that account, $1,000. I've already blew my own funds, $1,000, and now I'm just trying to get more funds. And I'm paying the same amount, $1,000. What makes me think that I'm going to be good at that? Let's first try to grow an account that's small and with my own money that I can afford. Like, I've heard stories, horror stories, of people who got into debts just paying for challenge accounts. Personally, I would not do it now. Now, because I don't need it anymore. But I also advise everyone who asks me, if it would be your first time thinking into buying a challenge account, I would definitely advise you, take that $1,000, fund your own account, and start with micro lots. Do that for 2-3 months, and I can promise you that that is going to discipline you. That will. And if it doesn't discipline you, then why would you want to get a bigger account? What makes you think that you will be able to master more money, or to manage more money, if you weren't able to manage less?
With regards to monthly returns or risk per trade, what would your guide? What would your guidelines be there, or what do you risk per trade?
My guideline, like the risk management part, is one of the things that I say that it's like the most subjective part in someone's trading. And also to all my mentees, I say this to them. You decide how much you're going to risk per trade. Personally, I risk 5% now. 5% per trade, which to a lot of people, it's huge. To me, it's not anymore, because it was. But then it just becomes normal. And when it's normal, it's not huge anymore. So now I take a 5% risk on every trade. If it's a losing trade, and I also split my trades into high probability setups or low probability setups based on whether I'm taking a trend trade or a pullback trade. So if I take a trend trade, then it's a high probability trade and I'll put 5% in it risk. If it's a counter trend trade, then it's a low probability trade and I'll put like 1.5% or 1% or maximum 2% in that trade. So for example, if I lose 5% on a high probability trade, a trending, you know, a trade that goes in the same direction with the bigger trend, then I'll just, and if I lose it, for example, let's say if I lose on London session, then I'll try to recover on the New York session. If the trades that I'll have a confirmation on the New York session, if that's going to be another high probability trade, I'm not going to put an additional 5% in it because I've already lost 5%. So I'm just going to put 2% in that. And if that trade is going to go to my 1-to-1 risk reward ratio, then at least I've recovered almost half of my initial loss. And then if I will catch, maybe some of you are familiar with the silver bullet trade. If I'll catch like a silver bullet setup, then I'll try to recover and finish the day at break even. If, however, I'll get like a, let's say I'll lose 5% on London and then I'll get on the New York session, if I'll get a low probability entry confirmation, then I'll put like 1% into that. And if I lose it, I stop for the day. If I win it, then I'll also stop for the day. So for me, if I lose a trade, I'll try to recover in one, maximum two trades on the next session. If I have no trade on London, but I do have a trade on New York, which is a losing trade, I'll try to recover part of it on the silver bullet hour. So from 10 to 11 a.m. New York time zone. If I don't, then that's it for me. So it's either one loss and one win, one loss and another loss, or one win and another win.
Okay, I think we can move on to the rapid fire round. So this is just going to be, we'll each take turns asking you a question. If you can just say the first thing that comes to mind, and just be honest. And then after this, I think we can go and start looking at some charts with you before we wrap it up.
Okay,
so I'll go first.
Should we get the questions up? Okay.
Well, I was thinking to just make up the questions as we go. Just keep it organic. Yeah, let's do it, guys. Let's go. The time has started. Okay, let's go.
Rapid fire.
Ready? So first question from me is, where's the best place that you've traveled?
I think the best place that I really liked was Cyprus. I really enjoyed Cyprus.
So from myself, a cat or a dog?
Cat. Two.
Two.
What's your favorite food?
Oh, I'm not picky with food. No, I'm not. No, that, I don't know. Broccoli?
You should tell my kid that. Okay, I'll go next. So for the rest of the year, what are you looking forward to most before 2024?
So investing-wise, just keeping the same strategy, trading, just trying to stay disciplined with my trading. Investing more and more time to build a community, to nurture the community, to help people as much as possible. I'm also like almost fully booked on my one-on-one mentorship. Right now I only have just like 4 spots left for December. And then in 2024, I really plan to do like a group mentorship that I hope that many, and it's going to be like that type of free group mentorship where you don't have to pay me. You just open your account with the broker and that's it. Just fund your account and I give you the knowledge for free.
What's favorite app for social media? What's your favorite app? Facebook, Instagram?
Instagram. I like on Facebook, it's posted automatically, whatever I post on Instagram. So yeah, Instagram is like number one for me.
Okay. And then for traders, who's your favorite trader to follow?
ICP.
Okay.
Me.
You first and then ICP second.
Yeah, no. No, me first, ICT second, and then Raja Banks third.
Nice. I think you missed us three out.
Those without saying.
Rapid fire rounds.
Alex, thank you so much for sharing your screen with us and taking a deep dive into your trading analysis. Can you show us some of your favorite setups and walk us through what you look for?
Yes, absolutely. So one of my favorite setups is to sell above Asia session high. The green shaded area that you see here is the Asia session range. So sell above Asia session high and 12 midnight open, 12 midnight New York. So whenever price goes above that area, I just considered that price is in premium. So then I'll drop down to the 1 minute chart and look for selling opportunities. If we go here on the 1 minute chart, I will always look for the creation of a fair value gap. So basically above 12 midnight open, that is also a daily high. And then above 12, above Asia session high and 12 midnight open. So price is in premium. And at this point, I would wait for the creation of a bearish fair value gap, which we see that it has been created in here. I don't wait for shift in market structure, break of structure, or like a swing high to be broken to the downside or stuff like that, or a bearish breaker being created. I just wait for a fair value gap to be created. And then if price comes into it and then gives me two consecutive bearish candles, where the second candle should close below the first candle, below its low, then that's going to be my entry confirmation. And then the other favorite setup is going to be whenever price goes below the green shaded area, which is the Asia session low, and also it's below 12 midnight open, so the opening price at 12 midnight New York, then I will just, let me just take this line and put it here so that we know that that's the Asia session low. And then I'll just wait for price to go below there and hopefully give me like a bullish fair value gap, but it has to be inside kill zone hours. So for me at this point, price went below there, you see, but it already is outside New York trading hours, which just ends here. That would be one of my favorite setups. It's the most simple to spot setup, is the favorite setup of all my students. And I don't know, it's a very easy to spot setup.
So Alex, what is the kill zone? Could you just give us a quick explanation of okay. that?
Yeah, sure. So kill zone, as per ICT's words, is like hours during the London session or like pre-London session. And then, two more hours or three more hours into the London session, and then also pre-New York and into the New York session, when price is likely to form predictable trading setups, and when it's also likely for price to move more. So we're seeing more volatility coming into the marketplace usually during kill zones. So for example, there are two kill zones the way that I use them. I only use two kill zones. ICT, what I've learned from him, it's three kill zones. So what ICT teaches is London kill zone, which is the first gray shaded area here, which starts at 9 a.m. It's my hour, 9 a.m. It starts at 2 a.m. New York till 5 a.m. New York time zone. Sometimes 1 hour 1 hour earlier. So the way that I use it is from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. That's what I use. This is what ICT teaches, but he also says sometimes 1 hour earlier. And then there's the New York kill zone, which starts at 7 a.m. New York time and ends at 10 a.m. New York time, what ICT teaches, but then it just continues two more hours with the London close kill zone. So what I do is I just extend the New York kill zone with 1 hour and a half. So for me, the New York kill zone starts at 7 a.m. and it ends at 11:30 a.m. New York time. Also because ICT says you should stop trading half an hour before noon New York time zone. So for me, if I can get an entry confirmation during or between 1 to 5 a.m. New York for the London kill zone, or between 7 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. New York time zone for the New York kill zone, then I'm happy. Those are the hours during which I actively look for trades, for setups. If, of course, I'm not doing something else, if I'm not at the gym, if I'm not in mentorship sessions, or, you know, if I'm just not feeling myself.
Thanks for sharing. It's really good. And a little bit of homework for us three now to look into ICT kill zones. So myself, I went on the ICT rabbit hole of fair value gaps or liquidity void. You know, they've got many names. And for myself, I didn't really research it properly. And I was actually trading the fair value gap. So I was actually looking at, I was actually trading the body, the close of the gap. Is that something you've done yourself, or are you using the gap just to get your confirmation of?
No, so So the way that I see people using fair value gaps is in multiple ways. The way that I use it is like this. For example, I start my analysis from the 1 hour chart, right? And on the 1 hour chart, if I see that price starts to break market structures to the downside, but they have to be specific market structures, as in daily lows. So if price starts to break daily lows and it's respecting daily highs, then for me, at least from a daily higher time frame perspective, my market bias is bearish. So what I'll do, I'll either wait for price to go above the high of the Asian session. For example, that's Asian session high right there, okay? So if price goes above there, and then I wait for an entry confirmation under the form of a fair value gap. So for example, we can go there. That was Tuesday's price action. So let's go there after price went above the high of the Asian session. Okay, there you go. So we have price going above. Let me just remove the rectangle. So I have price going above the high of the Asian session, which you can also see that it looks like a pretty obvious swing high like this, right? So what do we know from ICT that we have above swing highs? We have buy side liquidity, right? So in my head, buy side liquidity and any type of liquidity, whether it's buy side or sell side, can be used in two ways. One way, for example, if I have a high and price goes above it, right? That buy side liquidity can either be used to pair it with smart money short orders. In other words, smart money have manipulated market participants to go long. This is where buy stops will be activated. Stop loss is going to be below here or below there, right? And then price is going to start to use that buy side to pair with smart money short. So we will see price starting to create bearish imbalances. In other words, bearish fair value gaps, then being rebalanced, and then price starts to sell off. And then another way in which buy side liquidity can be used is to use it as market fuel. So it's going to be like you take your car to the gas station, you fill the tank, and then you move on, right? You're not gonna turn away. You're not gonna turn back. Okay, you're just gonna continue going in the same direction in which you're previously going. So to me, in here we still have buy side liquidity, but at this point is being used as fuel. So how do I know that once price goes above a swing high, how do I know it's not going to use it to go higher and just continue to move higher and then make a pullback and then continue to go higher, and then the buy side above here is going to be used to take price higher faster? How do I know that's not going to happen and that actually it's going to be used to pair it with smart money shorts and I can then look for a short opportunity? It's very simple. What did ICT say? Well, he said one of the two reasons why price will ever move is either to go for liquidity or to rebalance an old imbalance. So if I see that price went above that green shaded area, which is buy side liquidity, right? And I see that now it starts to, like, what was it doing before that? It was creating fair value gaps and it was respecting them, right? Or not even entering them, but it was definitely creating fair value gaps and it was going higher. So we have a run on liquidity. So then if that run on liquidity is finalized, how do I know it's going to be used to go lower? And now either go to, you know, rebalance a fair value gap that we might have to the left side of the chart lower, or maybe it's going to want to go for a lower sell side liquidity area, which in this case, obviously, is going to be below the low of the Asian session. It's simple. I'll just see price starting to transition from creating bullish fair value gaps into creating bearish fair value gaps. And for example, this is an absolute smashing example of an RBV setup. So what do I have here? I have last bullish fair value gap that's being created, right? And it also, like, it goes above that liquidity area. And then price starts to create bearish fair value gaps. So we have one in here. Price taps into it, gives me my two bearish consecutive candles, right? The second one closes below the first one. And that's when I actually sell. And my stop loss is going to go 2 pips above this high, or whatever amount of pips you need to add so that you accommodate your broker spread, right? So in that case, yeah, we have buy side liquidity purge, and then price no longer creates bullish fair value gaps. It starts to create bearish fair value gaps, and then it just taps into them and sells off, taps into them, sells off, taps into them and sells off. So this is a very, very good indication that that buy side is now used to drive price lower. And where's your next target? The opposing part of the liquidity that was just purged. So if you purge the buy side, the opposing one is going to be sell side. And if you can get that type of entry confirmation starting with 1 a.m. New York time zone, so after 1 a.m. New York time zone, so that you know you're also in that window of time of the London kill zone, when it's likely for price to create predictable trading setups, then that's it.
No, that's excellent. Thanks for sharing that as well. It's
my pleasure.
Really good.
So I also have like a mentorship program. It's like a one-on-one mentorship program where I teach people my strategy. And I also do like from time to time, I think that I'm going to make like a 3 times a year or maybe 4 times a year. I also do like a free group mentorship where many people can sign in. I announce it like usually 2-3 months before and then they can sign in. It's not really like... it doesn't cost them anything, but it does require for them to open a live account and deposit some funds at a broker that I'm usually partnering with for that part of the group mentorship. So yeah, that's one of the side projects.
Yeah, what broker are you using? If you don't mind us asking.
Yeah, I don't. So the main broker that I'm using most, it's RoboForex, RoboMarkets. That's the main one. I also, on the sidelines, use HankoTrade. And the one that I'm usually partnering with for the group mentorships is AvaTrade. And that's the broker that it's usually, backing up students or people who really want to learn how to trade my strategy, and they don't necessarily afford the cost of the one-on-one mentorship, even though, you know, it's pretty weird for me to talk about the cost of the mentorship, because I encourage everyone to ask me stuff, and I'll never keep away stuff that it's taught only in the mentorship. So there are a lot of people that are in my private chat, where I usually only put like private students or group students, but there are also a lot of people who have learned my strategy just by asking me stuff and me just being, you know, transparent and sharing what I know. And they've just jotted down, and now they know how to trade it, and they're just very in sync with everyone else in the chat, in the group. Because by the way, yeah, maybe you already figured out there's also like a, let's say like a private community on Telegram where we discuss trade setups and we trade together every day, and it's like a trading room, you could say.
What would be the best way for our viewers to contact you?
So I can be reached at on Telegram. My handle is true_Lera. Also, you can guys reach out to me on Instagram. The handle is the same, true_Lera. And looking forward to hearing from you.
Thanks.
Also have like a awesome YouTube channel, RBV Forex Made Easy. Go ahead and check that out also.
Yeah, yes. Brilliant. So yeah, we'll make sure we put all the links in the bottom so people can hit like and subscribe for you. That'd be good. So, no, Alex, thanks for coming on the show. And there's been some great takeaways. And you know, my advice to people who do watch the show is please check out Alex, Telegram, YouTube, Instagram, and have a look at ICT. You know, definitely look into my favorite, fair value gap. So thanks, Alex. And yeah, we look forward to chatting soon. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
So, Mandela, you've left yourself on mute, but
I was just so excited.
No, I'll take it from here. Out of all the guests we've had, I think Alex probably revealed the most regards to trading strategy. I can just see the comments. I think it's probably the busiest comment section we've had since we've ever started the channel. But for me, I'm a big fan of ICT or smart money concepts and the fair value gap. So I just thought it was an amazing interview. And if you want to be a trader, you just need to watch this back and back again, especially when Alex starts doing the chatting charts. She starts going through, how she trades. I just think it's brilliant. And if you want to be a trader, I really, really recommend that you reach out to Alex directly, on the links below, where she's got a Telegram, Instagram, etc. But guys, what do you think? I know Alex is in the chat now, so, be kind. But I just thought it's a fantastic interview.
I did. So there were a few things that I particularly took from the show, and in particular, her messages to people who have been trading for a little while. I think this episode was focused a little bit more on those people who have been trading for, you know, at least 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. So one of the things that I really liked that she said was there are two personalities inside of us. There's the trader and then there's the technical analyst. And with the trader is the one who wants to get paid. So whether it's $1 picking it up off the ground, or if it's $20, $40, $50, $100, $2,000, that's the trader's mentality. And then the technical analyst wants to try and maximize the profits on a trade. That really resonated with me. But lots of things that she covered in the interview. PJ, how did you find the interview with Alex?
No, I really appreciate her approach. She was explaining how to be successful, you need to be disciplined and, you know, don't go for the home runs and, you know, try to pick up the $10, you know. Just, you know, what she said, I'm probably going to butcher it. smooth is fast, or slow is smooth, yes. And smooth is, yes, fast. You know, yes, it's just exactly. It's just one of those things that, you know, it takes time to really appreciate, you know, and the only way to appreciate it is to try in and actually practicing these methods. But I liked her disciplined approach. I liked how methodical she was with her approach. And I think that provided a lot of value for us.
Yeah, so, absolutely. So I think so.
So for me, the biggest takeaway, listen, there's loads of takeaways, you know, the way she took us through the charts, the way she traded. But I think the thing that hit home for me was you pay your bills with money, not pips. So you see all these like fake gurus or these like fake traders on like Twitter and Instagram, and they're showing you, you know, the 10-to-1 reward ratio, you know, how much of a trader they are. But Alex is absolutely spot on. You pay your bills with money, not pips, right? So if you're hitting 20 pips consistently on gold day after day after day, you're getting paid, right? So, yeah. You know, you can show this, you know, big fancy trade of 10-to-1, but how often are you doing that?
Not very often. Yeah, it's so consistency. It really is consistency.
Great advice. But what I would say, we've had our first ever super chat on the channel, which I'm over the moon with that. So I had to reply in kind. But Mandela, could you bring that super chat up? Because
we can bring the chat up, no problem. Let's bring it up now. It was like the most craziest chat I've ever seen. Which one do you want to? It's a lot of messages to go through here.
It should be. So first of all, we have a new member, which is Igma73. So yep. Welcome to the Signature FX community, and thanks for joining. And our first ever super chat on the channel come from my, and I call him my nemesis. I think he's a Liverpool supporter, which is Paul Thomas. And I don't know if you can bring that up, Mandela.
I think I have something here.
Paul.
He gave us, $2. Yeah, £2.
We're not replacing my show with Alex. I'm sorry, guys. It's not happening. I don't know if it's one of you two have been talking to Paul, but no, I'm sorry. It's not happening at all, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think a lot of Alex fans, I think we definitely bring Alex back on the show, though. We have to bring Alex back.
100%.
On.
Yeah, so, 100%. Guys, we haven't done a supplement show for a long time where we talk Forex news, crypto news, and just generally financial gossip. And when we did speak to Alex last time, she said she'd be happy to come back. So I suppose my super chat, I don't know if you can bring that up, Mandela, is...
Okay, where was that? Was it after? Where was it?
Probably after Paul's one. I just want to say, can you just put a Y in the chat if you'd like to see Alex come back and co-host with us on the supplement?
This one? Was it this one? No, it wasn't that one.
Yeah, that'd be too far. No. So we just want to know that guys would like to see Alex back on the chat and come back on the show with us. And if everyone just put a Y in the chat, that's great. Excellent.
Yeah, Y in the chat. Y in the chat. I think Alex is an amazing guest to have. I think she is on board. When we spoke to her last, she was on board coming on future shows. But I think if we get the chat to contribute, I think that will help to boost the conviction to bring her back. Yep. Yeah, a lot of messages in the chat. I did try to reach out to Alex to see if she can come back on later. So Alex, if you are still listening, if you want to jump back on, please let me know. We can get you back on the show. But in the meantime, in between time, we do have a few other pieces that we wanted to talk about. And the first one, I think that we should give credit where credit is due. It is the side bet. So congratulations to the side bet winner. Andrew, you want to take that away?
I'm just going to take it away, guys. So on the last side bet, we had a best percentage gain. So yeah. We had Tesla versus Meta. And we had PJ went for Tesla and Mandela went for Meta. And the winner, which is no surprise if you watch our show, was actually PJ.
Yes, it was. Well done, PJ. Well done.
I'm starting to think you're letting me win, man.
You won fair and square. You won fair and square.
So let's hear it. So PJ came in at a 6.7% gain. And yep. Mandela, you've done extremely well at 3.3.
Thank you.
Really good trades, right? But at the end of the side bet, we have one clear winner. It's PJ at 5, Mandela at 3. Yeah. So for the next show going forward, it's going to be myself versus Mandela on the side bet. PJ, you're going to be the host. So just take it easy on us. But guys, what we need to decide is what's Mandela's forfeit. So last time you had to dress up.
That is crazy.
Yes, you had to dress up the professional Wall Street trader last time. If you remember, he had his bow tie on and his braces. Yeah, so we'll decide something for the next show. So Mandela, you're not getting away lightly either this time. So
thank you. I think PJ should probably decide the side bet. I think he's a little bit more forgiving, and I'm happy to accept whatever is dealt to me.
No, it's great.
Yeah, I'll have a long think about it. We get back to you on the next show.
Excellent. Before moving on, guys, should we give a little shout out to today's sponsors? You know, they've been with us for every show. So if you want to,
you can bring it up. So I'll take it away. So Orchid Nail Spa is our title sponsor. PJ and I went by there, and our tours looked newer than ever. Orchid Nail Spa has been our continued sponsor since day one. And they have really, really shown their support to us. So please check them out. They're basically one of the best spas on the island. If you want to reach out to them, it's orchidspabda.com. And you can book any treatment that you want. In a few minutes, we'll give a prize giveaway for their prizes. Also, we have a new sponsor. It's called Mona Lisa Cruises. So you can on the island by booking an adventure to remember on the magnificent Mona Lisa, specializing in small group charters with decades of experience on our waters. Feel free to enjoy all the beauty Bermuda has to offer. Simply go to mlcruisesbermuda.com to reserve the perfect charter experience. So all that information is in our description. Feel free to book a charter. We are looking to book something for all of our Signature FX family. And we're going to do something. We're trying to get Andrew down on the island before we actually concrete something that we can have everybody on the boat. I think that would be great. Maybe have like a drone flying around, taking pictures and videos.
Yeah, looking forward to the boat party, guys, in Bermuda. That'll be good.
Yeah. Also, just want to mention our swag sponsor. So for the hats, we go with none other than Just for Kicks, J4K. All the details are in the description as well. So Just for Kicks provides all the swag. They do the mugs. They do the hats for us. I'm going to switch out my hat right now. And we're going to give away a hat. Let's segue to a hat right now, because we've had a lot of people in the live chat who have decided that they want to win a prize. So last call for hashtag SFX. Last call for hashtag SFX. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is probably the busiest that we've ever had the chat. So if we just click that and that and that.
Guys, it's just great to see all the why comments we're getting to get Alex back on the show. So I think we'll set up the supplement show for maybe a few weeks, couple of weeks. And then let's reach out to Alex and see if she's available to jump on the show with us and discuss everything Forex, crypto, and just all the gossip within the Twitter space with these prop firms that's going on. So lots to catch up on, especially with the prop firms. Is it MyForex Funds?
Yes, MyForex Funds as well.
What happened to them guys? So like, it looks like they've the owner of MyForex Funds cleaned out, what was it, 300 million and a Bugatti, and then just left everyone, you know, with nothing. So that's really interesting. I know all the other prop firms, they've just all been panicking. I know Deal has pulled all their relationships with the prop firms. So just lots going on, lots that we need to discuss. So let's get a winner, Mandela.
Here we go. It looks like it's been reset. So good luck to everyone out there. This is for a all expense paid treatment to Orchid Nail Spa. It's going to Jerry Soltis. Congratulations, Jerry Soltis. He has won an all expense paid treatment to Orchid Nail Spa.
Can I just add something? If they're outside of Bermuda, it's not all expenses paid.
I know Jerry is in Bermuda. I know Jerry very, very personally.
We're not covering the flights outside of Bermuda.
I will cover the flights. I will actually cover it first class for Jerry because I know where he's at.
If you're outside Bermuda, what we're going to do, we're going to ship you one of our caps or a mug if that's what you'd like. And so we should we do another one maybe for the cap or a mug, Mandela? And hopefully,
yeah, we can do another one. Let's do another one.
Get a winner outside of Bermuda.
Quite a few people. Okay, let's get back into the chat. Okay, so last call for #SFX. All right, here we go. #SFX. So everybody who's watching live, thank you. Also, while we're mentioning it, there are people who are going to be watching the replay. So we're on live on Bermuda channel 82. The replays are going to be played on cable channel 82. Also, YouTube replays. Thank you to everybody who's watching the replay. And also, we will be on all your favorite podcast apps: Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Audible, Amazon Podcast. Feel free to share and like and subscribe to us. All right, here we go. This is for the cap. So this is the cap that we're going to give. This one right here is the cap for, drum roll, please. I want to say Sabasi PS4 ACC. That sounds like a gamer playing the PS4, but Sabasi or Kabasi, congratulations.
Yeah. So, yeah, apologies on pronunciations, but if you can drop us a message at let's get this right, info@signaturefxa.com, and we'll get that out to you, okay? So info@signaturefxa.com, and we get the cap out to you. So that's great, guys. What a show. I've really enjoyed it. There's a lot being shared, isn't there? There's a lot to take in. So for myself, I'm going to rewatch what Alex said, you know, about that New York, 12 a.m. New York Open, I think it was.
Yeah, I have a chart for that. I have a graphic. So the kill zones, I think that was new to me. I'm not very well versed in ICT. I'll be the first to admit it. But the kill zones, I think, were one of the things that she spoke a lot about. So this is probably not the best to look at on a phone, but if you're on a widescreen or in a cinema or in your living room on a nice flat screen TV, you can probably see that the London Open kill zone is there. Then you got the New York Open kill zone, and then the New York close is at the end.
Yeah. So I just want to go through some of the comments. So somebody was saying, where do they start with ICT? So for myself, I looked into ICT, and then I had the, I think it's a 2020 membership, 2022 membership, 2023 membership, and there's weeks worth of videos, right? So what I would recommend to anyone who's watching now and who's in the chat is go to Alex's channel first, go through Alex's content, reach out to her directly, and then from there, once you've digested the content that she's put out on YouTube for free, once that's done, and then potentially then go to the ICT YouTube channel. But also ICT, I think we're going to give ICT a shout out in the comments as well with a link to him, because he is the godfather of this smart money concepts, and he's helped so many people. So I think he deserves a shout out as well. But if I was in someone else's position, I'd go to Alex's channel first, go through all her content, and then ask her any questions, and potentially then go to So, guys, it's probably it from me for this show. I really, really enjoyed it. I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about before we leave, or...
I think the next show is something to remember. So we will be doing the new side bet hosted by PJ in the next show. That's going to be, I think that's something to look forward to. I think PJ, you've earned the victory. I wanted to give you a round of applause for winning the side bet. You did.
I appreciate it.
Can we get a little acceptance speech?
Yeah, two things. PJ, we need you to speak right now because someone just mentioned PJ so quiet, he's actually AI. So PJ, go for it.
Just a glitch. Let's see what's going on. But no, definitely looking forward to hosting the next side bet. Have to throw a little curveball or something for you guys for the next side bet. I think long and hard. I don't know if we're going to stick to crypto, if we're going to do maybe some commodities. I don't know, but throw a little curveball for you guys. Yeah. I know the time's a bit sideways right now. The market's a bit choppy, but you think of something.
Okay, looking forward to it, PJ. Looking forward to it. And we'll be posting dates and information on the site. But yeah, great show, I think, guys. Great show overall. I will like to go through the comments. There's a lot to go through. But I do appreciate people who have taken their Sunday to kick it with us and post and use their energy and time. We really, really appreciate that. So I'm going to take the last sort of 5 minutes to go through the live chat. But if you guys had anything else that you wanted to add, we can definitely touch on some stuff. Anything you guys are looking at for the rest of the year? Because we haven't had a show since like June.
Yes.
So it's, how you guys been sort of making out?
Hey, man, everything since cool. Me personally, just been extremely busy with the... outside of trading and stuff, it's not something I've been as active as I would have liked. I like to, and I do get into trading and whatnot. I like to have all things, my boxes ticked, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
just if I'm not able to execute when I need to, then I don't take those risks anymore. Before, I suffered from over trading, and now it's just, when the moment presents itself.
Yeah, it's a lot about patience and being able to have delayed gratification. Alex spoke about it as well, the mentality and being able to say, I don't need to take every single opportunity.
I totally agree with that. Just for myself, just saying what PJ said, so I've stopped over trading now. For myself, I'm looking at a measly 1% a month from my accounts. And that's it. That's all I need. You can see behind me, some funded accounts that I've got. And that's it, guys. I'm just trying to look to build as much capital as I can with some virtual capital with these prop funds. And then from that, then to really build my own portfolio. So that's it for myself. And that's probably why I've been quite quiet in the WhatsApp groups. I'm just staying in my own lane and just focusing on what I need to do from now until the end of the year.
I think that's what PJ mentioned it. It's slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And it's about being around for the next 10 years. And how do you do that? That's how you do it. Yeah.
So too often people blow up their accounts and, it's like once you've done it, it hurts. So you want to learn from those mistakes. And you don't want to be making the same mistakes over and over. So.
I do want to say thank you to Alex Lara. She was in the live chat. She was a great sport. I think we'll get her on the show again multiple times, hopefully. And really, really appreciate her time. She was a great sport for the interview. Really, really easy to deal with. Really easy going. And extremely knowledgeable as well. I think those of you who have been trading for a while, I think you could really gain a lot of knowledge and insight from what she's learned and what she shared.
Yeah, definitely. So you can go through the journal.
Let's go through the chats. Let's go through the chats now. So if we go, I'm looking at a lot of messages. We had, I think, a record amount of messages in the chat. I don't know where to start, but I, let's just pick a place to start here. So this was a question here. How often do you trade a pair other than gold? If you don't see a trade in gold, do you trade a different pair? I think one of the things from Alex, from what I understood, was she is focused on gold and only gold. And she has a laser focus. It's like the Bruce Lee quote, which is, you want to have 100,000 practices on the same kick. And I think that's Alex's focus. I think this was her response here. Yeah, there we go. So for anybody out there who is looking for something to start out with, why not start with one thing and try and kind of master that inside out? I think that's good. All right. Let's see. I'm going to keep going down the list because there's a lot of messages. Okay. Really appreciate your answer to your new strategy. This is from Hussein Pervez. Thank you for your message. So Alex also has her mentor, her mentees, I guess you can call it. So appreciate all her mentees tuning in and watching the show live today. You're taking money off the table and putting it in the bank, and that's what it's about. You know, it's not necessarily about having a record trade every single trade. Let's go down. Okay, let's see. This was another one here. So quite a few people, I think, were drawn to Alex's way of explaining things, and hopefully they're able to get a new mentor. I think it's very important to have somebody who you can trust and you can talk to. I'm just gonna keep going down the list, guys. If you guys want to stop me, please go ahead.
Just a quick comment from Beach Panda. So will the host be posting or send a link for Kill Zones on the ICT links? So my answer to that is just follow Alex. She covers all that in her YouTube, and she covers it on her Telegram channel. So I think what you need to do is just digest all the knowledge from Alex that you can, and then if you feel you need to go further, then just have a look. Just YouTube search ICT, and you'll see his channel, and everything is there. But my advice would be just follow Alex first. You know, she explains it. I think she explains it more clear than ICT, in my opinion.
Yeah. I do like the way that Alex breaks it down, easy to understand, and it's almost like a very good starter way to understand things. And I have joined her Telegram, and it is incredible. Like, they have, I want to say, over 300, 400, 500 people in the Telegram, all sort of trading her method, and I would recommend that to anybody.
Yeah, if you got a winning formula, why change, you know?
Yeah.
So guys, I shouldn't do my normal and say, have a great Sunday, all the best. You two carry on.
Yeah.
I'll see you in the week, guys. I need to shoot off. So
that's all right.
All the best. Thanks, chat. Thanks, Alex, and we'll speak soon. Bye for now.
Yep. Take
care. Right. Check you later.
Cool. All right, Pete, I do want to mention the event. So there was an event that was brought to our attention. It was, what is it called? There is a Bermuda Digital Asset Symposium. I know this is right. Probably going to come back to you, or you're very familiar with it. So I think this is great for Bermuda. I think we have a very strong regulatory framework, and there are a lot of people in Bermuda, a lot of companies in Bermuda who have set up, who want to be the main names in the digital asset space. So I guess this event is very important to Bermuda. It's Bermuda's first digital asset symposium. It's an invite only event held in tandem with the Bermuda Tech Summit, and it's being organized by XBTO and Clarion Bank. There will be a panel, and the panel's called Fostering Digital Asset Adoption This is an exclusive event, and it's going to be held on Monday, October 9th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the Hamilton Princess in the Princess Ballroom. So you can contact Brad Coetzer to arrange tickets, and all of Brad's details are available in the description in the video. And I know we will be attending. I think it's great for Bermuda. It's great for digital assets, period. I think what they're trying to do is create a forum for people to discuss it and find ways, creative ways, to encourage adoption. So I also found it interesting that even though Alex just trades Forex or just trades gold, she was also a pretty positive proponent of XRP. I thought that was very interesting.
I mean, if you have put the time in to trade, you know, I'm sure you have a bit of, you know, we mainly focus on technical analysis, but a lot of people also have to, you know, value the importance of fundamental analysis as well. And sometimes, yeah, you know, when you get the information across your trading desk, you know, it's hard not to sort of get excited and look more into certain projects that you could use fundamental analysis and your technical analysis skills to profit from. And I think, you know, with all the news that's surrounding these digital assets, it's hard not to get excited. It's hard not to see where it's going, you know. I feel with that particular asset, it's almost like finding out about Amazon for the first time, yeah, you know. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, do you have the patience to wait it all out? Yeah. But yeah, it was a nice sort of confirmation for myself that, you know, I'm not wasting my time. Although I was sold, you know, years ago, just my enthusiasm didn't match the timeline sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes that's the other part of it, is that it's a timing and it's also being right. Mm-hmm. And I think you will be proven right, but it's just a matter of getting the timing right.
Right.
So yeah, I completely understand the patience, and I respect the patience that's involved in doing that. So I wanted to mention one last thing as we're in the after hours right now, and that is the Bit Games. There's been a lot of interest and support for the Bit Games. So PJ, you did really well in the Bit Games. You were probably the best performer in the Signature FX group. You finished very strongly. So I wanted to give, I will give a very basic description of the Bit Games, explanation of the Bit Games. And then if you want to kind of share a little bit about what it is and how you found it and what worked for you, what didn't work for you, I think that would be helpful. So next year, we will be doing the Bit Games 24, and you'll receive $100,000 of capital. You can trade any stocks, crypto, or ETFs. And also, the winner will get a prize. We will be given we're still working on what the prize will be, but we're going to be given a very, very worthwhile prize to any person who wins, whoever gains the most amount in the period of the Bit Games. So we're still working on the date, still working on the length of time. But basically, what you want to know is you sign up for the Bit Games, you will receive a login, you can trade however you like. You'll usually have a month to trade, and you'll get $10,000. $10,000 to trade however you like, any stocks, any crypto, any ETFs. And it's coming soon.
Sorry, Bob, is it $10,000 now, or was it $100,000?
$100,000. You're right, PJ. It is $100,000. Yeah. Yeah. $100,000, which is
not sure if you changed the rules on us or not.
Yeah, no, it will be $100,000. It will be $100,000 again this year. But so how did you find Bit Games? What were some of the things that you found helped you to get in the top five?
Well, definitely it was kind of stressful at one point because, you know, it was glued to it, right? It was like a new addiction. Yeah. Definitely felt that those that did do well had a plan, and they had they done well with that sort of idea of like, you know, I know this is going to be at this point, by the end of the month. They just bought a large volume of it. I think the maximum in one asset that we could trade was like 20% of the portfolio. And I think they just allocated, you know, 20, 20, 20, and they did pretty well with their picks. For myself, I was juggling between strategists, and, you know, I think I left a lot of money on the table, but I was also able to recoup some of the losses from some bad performance. But it was really exciting, really looking forward to the next time we do it. I don't know if we're going to do it beginning of January or if we're going to try to do it like the end of quarter Q1 like last time.
I think we'll try to do Q1 again.
Yeah, it was very timely too, because a lot of I think it was a lot of reversals at that time too, so we had some very volatile stock movement and ETF movements as well. But I got a lot of positive feedback from the big games as well. You know, people wanted us to do it a quarterly game, but I know it's a bit too much work.
It is a lot of work on the back end. I would love to be able to do it every quarter, but as you know, it's a lot. It's a lot that goes into the coordination.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to doing it again. I think it will probably be in the first 3 months of next year.
So. Yeah, and what I heard as far as feedback, you know, it was very positive in that, you know, they liked the idea of participating in trading. And mostly these were people who hadn't traded anything before, but they, you know, got their feet wet. They were able to kind of copy trade. They were able to see the results of their selections and whatnot. I think it's a positive thing and helps to encourage habits of, you know, getting your trade setups, finding a strategy and executing it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, PJ. I think that's the show. I think we had a very good turnout today. Thanks for watching. Thanks to everybody who has tuned in and watched our show. I really do enjoy these shows with you and Andrew. And I want to encourage anybody who has any guest ideas or any topics, just send us an email, info@signaturefxa.com, and we can get more topics into the show and make the show better and greater and stronger. And really, again, I just want to say thank you to Alex. She did a phenomenal job. And I think I will be watching the show back at least twice to try and capture all the knowledge that was shared.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, great guess.
Yeah, cool. All right, until next time, we'll get the next show. We'll do the side bet again. Well done for winning the side bet, P.
Yes, no problem.
In style. And until next time, we'll see you later.
Peace. Mr. Four. Coming in, honey.